Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. Today we are in Matthew, and I think we're ready to start chapter 9. I know, Clyde, you asked me where we are. You were here the last time we had. I wasn't here that week, and we didn't have Sunday school last week, so I think...
I wasn't here the week before that.
Oh, well, Mike said he thought the last time we had Sunday school was chapter 8.
I think we discussed just about all of chapter 8, I believe.
Okay, then, let's just go ahead and start on chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. Who's got something to read?
I got an amplified here if you want me to read it for take Brenda and Buddy's place.
Okay.
You want me to read it, please? Do you want me to do that?
Sure do.
Okay, chapter 9. Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over the Sea of Galilee and came to Capernaum, his own city. And they brought to him a man who was paralyzed, laying on a stretcher. Seeing their active faith springing from confidence in him, Jesus said to the paraplegic, do not be afraid, son, your sins are forgiven. The penalty is paid and the guilt removed, and you are declared to be in right standing with God. And some of the scribes said to themselves, this man blasphemes by claiming the rights and the prerogatives of God. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven and the penalty paid, or say, get up and walk? Both are possible for God, both are impossible for man.
Amen.
But that you may know that Jesus, the Son of Man, has authority and power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paraplegic, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. I think we should stop there. That's six verses. Okay.
I do.
Yeah.
Because there was some really interesting stuff in there.
That kind
of goes along with some things I've been feeling the Lord say unto me lately. Mm-hmm. So, anybody want to start? Okay, then. I guess I will. And I think it's in, let me see. It had to do with Jesus saying, your sins are forgiven. And they started murmuring among themselves. And so Jesus said, well, wait a minute. That's kind of evil for you to think that. So which is it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to say, hey, get up and walk. Now, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Is Jesus our Savior? He can forgive sins. He can also heal us, you know. But I've been thinking a lot about total reconciliation lately. And I think that this is just in my opinion, it's time to kind of take that off of the back burner and put it on the front burner and say, with all the, I find that people are coming out from underneath the blind following of the mainstream churches, and they're starting to ask a lot of questions. And so it says, hey, which is it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. Well, so you know that I am the Savior and I forgive sins. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say to you, get up and walk. And he got up and walked. So Jesus Christ is at every, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. So who is every and is he? Isn't he Lord? Isn't he Lord? I don't know. I've just had that on my mind, especially. especially all morning today. And for, I'll tell you what, I've been singing, and the Lord won't let, I don't even know any, remember any of the words to the song except the first word. And it's this: a nation shall be born in a day. And wow, the Lord's just been saying to me, I can turn things around in a day, mm-hmm. in a day. Maybe it's time to let people begin to question what is hell and who's going to burn there for all eternity. Mm-hmm. And I was reading something on, mainstream church stuff today, like the notes that are in a Bible. And it said that they were talking about, can Judas be forgiven? And then he goes on, blah, 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 and he says, and I say by the authority of God that Judas is yet today still burning in hell for all eternity. And I thought, wait a minute. There has to be more than me in this giant world we live in that says, who calls foul on that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I see that every knee shall bow. I see that in the scriptures. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, I don't know, I just kind of like to have a conversation about that. Can we?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
There's a family member, not mentioning any names, that think that we hang everything on that one scripture. But that's not true.
It is not true. Very seldom do we even bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't throw it in anyone's face. Only if they ask the question do we even mention, yeah, we do believe that.
Well, let's go back to one of the first things that you said. There, you, when you said that, you know, Jesus said, is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up, take your bed and walk, you know, whatever, pick up your bed and walk? And I think sometimes what we tend to forget is that he told us in other portions of scripture, whatsoever things you bind in heaven will be bound in earth. Whatsoever things you loose in heaven will be loosed in earth. And under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can speak a word of release to people. Mm-hmm. And the thing about total reconciliation, which you mentioned, in the scriptures where it talks about, it says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. And it says that he's given to us the word of reconciliation, that we might do the work of reconciliation. Well, the work of what is the work of reconciliation? The work of reconciliation is telling people what he did. Mm-hmm. He already did it. Can't do it no more. It's done. It's been done.
They're forgiven.
When he was on Calvary, when he said it's finished, mm-hmm. it was completed. Mm-hmm. You know, it was completed. But we in our mistaken identity of reality, we haven't come to the reality of accepting what his word declares totally. And you know, as we come to that reality, not only can Jesus speak that word, but he said, these works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. And you have authority to speak those words too. And that's, when I say that, it isn't that you can just go around, well, bless God, do this, bless God, do that, and like it's going to happen. But it's as the Holy Spirit inside of you begins to move and direct you, you can move with that same authority and that same power. And, you know, we have to come to the realization that we put it off into some future day all the time. And there's coming a time when we're going to come to the realization today, if you'll hear his voice. See? And, you know, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. Can you be in the Spirit on the Lord's day? If you account every day as the Lord's day, mm-hmm. you can. See, he said, and I'm going to be quiet after this, because I'm going to preach a whole sermon here, but he said that, you know, some of you guys, basically, and I'm going to paraphrase this, he said, some of you guys, you honor one day above another day, and you do this and you do that, and when you begin to honor every day as being the Lord's day, then you can, I believe you can start to begin to function in the power of that day, you know, because what it's like walking around in mistaken identity. We're walking around in mistaken sense of authority. You know, when Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, do all those things. And most of the time, what happens with us is that we're afraid, you know, we're afraid to do some of those things. But you need to do it under the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I love that story that Clarice told about being called to
the men's prayer room.
It was actually like a all men. They were ministers. They were. I guess they were graduating for seminary or something. I don't know what exactly it was. But anyway, she said that she was the only woman there. You know. And she said she'd always believed that women couldn't minister, you know, they weren't supposed to minister, you know. And she said when she got there, she said it was all these famous guys that she knew, you know, basically, and I'm putting it in my words instead of hers, but there was these famous ministers that she knew. And she said the one minister that kind of was running the thing said to her, oh, no, don't worry about that. You can speak, you can do this and all this. And she said, and he got up and he coughed and he died. He fell down on the platform. And he said all of the big name ministers gathered around him. I guess they prayed for him and stuff or whatever, did whatever, and said that, you know, they all pronounced him dead. You know, he's dead, you know. And then they said the paramedics came and they pronounced him dead. And she said the Holy Spirit spoke to her, which was the most unlikely person to do that. And see, that's what we have to realize. We, a lot of times, are the most unlikely person to do the things that God tells us to do. And what happened there is she said the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, go over and raise him up. And she said, you know, I think she kind of hesitated. I think she kind of told the Lord, you know. He says, go over there and raise him up and act like you've done it before. And you know what? And what made me think about that is that one portion of the scripture where Jesus said in the Amplified that we just read, it said, and Jesus said to the paraplegic, do not be afraid. Son, your sins are forgiven you. And you know, what does fear do? Fear brings torment. Mm-hmm. And what happens with us sometimes when we fear being obedient to the things that God tells us to do at times? Then that fear will begin to torment us, and we will pull back and we will not step into the authority and stuff that God has given to us in a situation. And you know, I love that, but you know, over in the King James, he says, "Son, be of good cheer; thy sins are forgiven thee." You know, but I like what the Amplified says. It says, "Don't be afraid, son. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid." And you know, perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. And when you move in the love of God and by the direction of God, there's nothing that you can't do in God. But it's by His direction, and we're. And I'm going to stop with this. Where we get in trouble sometimes is we try to take the word and make it work. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to take the word and make it work. We need to work with the word. When God gives you the word, then you speak that word, and you speak that word only. And as you speak that word only, the authority, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will follow that word. And it will be a powerful word. It won't be something to where you got to apologize later on for it. Mm-hmm. And she said that when she went over there and she rebuked death off of him, she said he coughed.
Hallelujah.
And he got up.
Oh my goodness.
And continued.
And he got up. And she said, but funny thing, I love that story because that's just the way human nature is. She said, I never got so many people wanting me to come to her church and minister. And she said, and God would not let me take a one of them.
Wow. Right.
And you know why? Because they were looking at the miracle and not looking at the miracle maker, right. Which was the Holy Spirit. See, and that's the thing. And that's where a lot of times we wonder, why are we going through all these troubles and all these problems and everything? And a lot of that's God's working on us, letting us know that he knows our fame, that we're but what? Dust.
Right.
But in him, we become more than dust. We become his sons, his daughters, and we have the authority that whatever he tells us to do, we can do it by the authority of the Holy Spirit, you know, that dwells within us. Not people say, well, the Spirit came down. No, the Spirit doesn't really come down. We feel like it does sometimes, but it comes up from within you because the mystery has been hidden from past ages is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
And until we really totally acknowledge that and function in that and function in the fact of that, we can do whatever God tells us to do. And I'll tell you one other thing, and then I'm done talking for a while. You are not responsible for the outcome when God tells you to do something. You're only responsible for one thing.
Being obedient.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And if you when you come to understand that, then it takes the pressure off of you that you feel like you gotta pull a rabbit out of the hat. You don't have to pull nothing out of nothing. All you gotta do is be obedient to what you feel like God tells you to do, when he tells you to do it, and basically how he tells you to do it. And then leave it in his hands, leave it in the Spirit's hands. That's where it's all at, you know. But
fear is a weird thing.
Oh, it is. It's a tormenting thing.
What stops everyone from doing what the Lord tells them to do is fear of some kind. Yep. Go ahead, Brian.
You stopped in 6, but let me go to the 7 and 8 in the King James. He said, and he arose and departed to his house. Mm-hmm. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled as though the good thing and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. But that marvel was they were afraid. Mm-hmm. That's what stops men.
Yeah.
They were afraid. I'm telling you, they were afraid it would come to pass.
Yeah. You know, when I've had just a couple of medical things, we all get them when we get older, and it is amazing to me what fear can do. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I had a little something that caused my ankle to get red and swollen, and I had a tiny little pimple here and a tiny little pimple here, and they itched real bad, and I'm going, oh my God, I'm allergic to something. Before I could snap my fingers and pull my brain back, I had myself having my leg amputated, and you do that. And oh, when I sit back and look at the silly things that I've let myself almost get out of control over, and then pull yourself back into, wait a minute, who do I belong to? Did he not tell me, don't be afraid? What's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is that I'll get rid of this body and get a whole precious, wonderful relationship with Jesus and see things as they are, not through this darkened glass.
Yeah.
Up here.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is what you're saying there too, is we have a tendency that we relate too much to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know
exactly
what I mean? Because this has been the center of our existence since we were little bitty things. You know what I mean? And when we come, when the scripture says that the flesh profits nothing. I mean, this is a house that we're dwelling in, and it's going to have aches and pains, and it's going to have a lot of things, because it's a temporary house. It's a temporal thing. It's not permanent. And you know, I don't know if any of you guys ever read much of Smith Wigglesworth stuff, but Smith Wigglesworth, God used him mightily back in his day of ministry. But you know that he had appendicitis almost all of the time that he was ministering to other people. I'm sure he was in great pain, great misery, everything else. And could God have healed him instantly? Yes, but he didn't. And you know, when Paul said, you know, I was sent a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, you know. And he said, and I besought the Lord three times, and we know that three is a beautiful number in Scripture, that it has a real thing about completion, you know, and you know, the meaning of three in there. And he said, I besought the Lord three times, and he said, what did the Lord answer me? My strength, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made what? Perfect in what?
Yes.
Weakness, in your weakness. And see, I don't care who we are, if God healed us every time and we turned around and we was in perfect health and I know the human nature part of us, we would have a tendency to be judgmental of anybody that was sick by saying, well, they must not be walking with God. Look at them. They got all these problems, you know. They got this, they got that. And natural people sometimes will say that about us, you know, when we have problems. And you know what? I believe God, he lets the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust, you know. And, you know, we're in this temporary situation here, and we don't even understand why we're here, because that's one of the biggest questions Christians are asking. Lord, why am I here, and what am I supposed to do, you know? And instead of them having relationship with God, they're worried about what they should be doing. Well, the work that they should be doing is to believe on him and what he did on Calvary. That's the actual work. And, you know, but anyway, I'm going to try not to talk. You guys talk. I'm going to be quiet.
I found that three times were, because at the same time, it's just been kind of on me all week. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ mm-hmm. is Lord. Mm-hmm. To the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of looking those things up, and the first time, one of the first times, is in Isaiah 45. And that whole thing is, I like to just read it. Let me just read it in the King James. Because this is where he talks to Cyrus. And notice how many times it says, I am God and there is no other. There's no one beside me. There's no one above me. You got to get this into your head.
Right.
I am God. I alone am God. He says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before him and make crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And remember, this was before Cyrus was even born, and I don't know that he ever was a godly man. Don't know. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden treasures of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. That's pretty strong words. For Jacob, now this I really love, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and for Israel, mine elect. They were the same guy. Jacob was the servant, the child. He had an encounter with God and he became Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So he said, I've called you by name, Cyrus. 200 years before the guy's been born, he says, and I've surnamed thee, That is to give a title to give an honor to. He's just like Jacob in Israel. He's saying, I have surnamed you. I've given you a special name. I am the Lord. I, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. This is pretty neat. I just love this chapter. They may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. And I, the Lord, do all these things. That's a pretty strong thing right there. He created evil. And I think that there's a connotation to that, because he says, I made the light, I made the darkness. He might be, not that it doesn't mean evil, but it might mean I made peace and I make war.
Couldn't we say he created a balance, balances?
Sure.
I mean, that's basically what he did when he was talking to, who was I reading? he was even talking to the Pharisees back then. He was actually talking to them. He said, because they're the ones that started questioning in their mind, mm-hmm. and God revealed their mind to him. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh my God. And then, but you know what? We find out, and we should realize this is the place we find ourselves. We're a proving ground for God to live. We ought to realize that. People are watching us to see how we reflect that life of Christ that we believe in. And you know what? And sometimes, I believe that's why we know Joseph's life so much. Sometimes they mean it for evil, but you know what? Still, even they meant it for evil, so God still means it for good.
You know that scripture that when you first start reading that scripture, you're talking about the gates, that he'll open the gates. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the Lord told me one time what the gates were. And there was the two-leaf gates, I believe it said, okay. And let's look at this scripture here. This is Psalm 24. And it says, starting with verse 6, it says, this is the generation of them that seek him and seek the face. It's supposed to say, O Jacob, Salah, but that's a bad translation of there. I think it should be of the Lord. I think that's a bad translation of that. I'm pretty sure.
It's 24:6.
Yeah. It says, and then he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. And lift up your everlasting doors. Now, lift up your head, the two-leaved gates. I felt like that the Lord told me that these are the two-leaved gates.
Our lips.
Because when you open these gates, there's either life or death. There's either the power or there's the condemnation. All of those things come from these two gates right here. And when I like that it first says, here he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Well, what's he saying there? If what I'm saying is so, then he's saying, lift up your thought processes, think before you speak through them two gates, speak the word of life. And then when you speak the word of life, what's going to happen? Be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. Because what happens there is then you open the doors to the kingdom, see? Mm-hmm. And he says, and who'll come in? It talks about the King, the Lord of glory. He's the one that's going to come in. And he tells you that two or three times here. And why does he say it two or three times? Because he's going to say, until you do this in the realm of the outer court, the realm of the inner court, and the realm of the Holy of Holies, these are the three realms that you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to the doors will be opened after you lift the gates, after you open the gates. Well, the gates, you know, the gates are the outer thing first, you know. And the outer thing is your speech, what you say. The inner thing are the inner doors. That's the doors where the Lord wants you to open up to come into his presence in deeper ways. Mm-hmm. And you keep coming in, you know. And let's read the whole thing. It says, this is the generation. Now we know that a people shall be called as a generation for him, you know, because he was cut off without seed. We know the scripture says that. And we know if you read the beginning of Matthew, you know in the genealogies when it says 14, 14, 14, how many is that? It's 42. But if you count them, there's only 41 there. And everybody say, oh, God, there's a mistake in the Bible. No, it's not no mistake in the Bible. Because in other portions of scripture, it says he was cut off without seed. There shall be a generation counted for him as seed. That's us. That's the generation who Jesus Christ received to himself. This is the generation of them that seek him and seek his face, O Jacob Shelah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The King of glory, mighty, the King of glory in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up your head, you everlasting doors, and who shall come in? Who is the King of glory? You know, and, you know, it's actually saying it, well, I guess it's actually saying it twice, and not three times. But anyway, after you've said it twice, the next portion after that, if you do the three, mm-hmm. the three realms, is the Holy of Holies after right. that, you know. So, you know, but I believe that's the two lead gates right there. It's these mm-hmm. these gates right here. Until you open them up, until he opens them wide and begins to let his glory come out. That's instead of us speaking negative things and things of death, we start to speak things of life. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, it's like you were saying, Kathy, when you seen that, and all of a sudden, what the thoughts come to you? Oh, well, I've got this, or I've got mm-hmm. that, and I'm going to get it. And if you start speaking that, you know what? A lot of times you'll talk yourself right into it, and you'll have it. You know what I mean? Or you'll have all the symptoms or whatever, you know. But you know, I love that the word, the answer to the things in the scripture usually are in the scripture somewhere else, you know. And it takes God to kind of, you know, kind of show them to us. And it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up what?" And that next psalm, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. You know. But if you know, and that just goes right on into that, you know what I mean? But when you open the gates, and then the doors open, then the rest of this falls right into that too, see, you know.
You don't think that's supposed to be done in that order, do you? Duh.
Yeah, yeah. He's telling us this is the generation of them right. that seek him, you know. Mm-hmm. And if we believe that we're the generation of them that seek him, because mm-hmm. he told us, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open, ask and it shall be given, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I've said that in the wrong order. It's ask, seek and knock. Yeah, it's where
every
the order.
Other generation
yes, Kay.
Was Old Testament.
Yeah.
We are the generation after Christ gave his life. Everything changed. Everything changed. It was built on that foundation, but everything changed.
Well, really, almost everything that's in the New Testament is in the Old Testament.
Yes.
But it's concealed. It's concealed. And only people that God gave insight in could see it back there, you know. And you know, that's why he could say, even with Abraham, he said, Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. And they said to him, well, Lord, how could Abraham have seen your day? You're not yet 50 years old. That down the natural plane there, see? Mm-hmm. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You know, and how did he see his day? He saw it through Isaac. He saw it through being obedient to God and being willing to take his son, his only son, you know, and sacrifice him to God, you know. And you know, but yet he also had the assurance that God had told him that in Isaac's seed shall all the generations be blessed. He believed God, even though God told him to do something that, because he knew that God would raise, if he'd have stabbed Isaac right there and killed him, God would have raised him up, because he'd given him that promise, you know what I mean? But they told him, well, stay your hand. I know now that you would do what I told you to do, you know. But they were showing that whole situation of the sacrifice Jesus was going to make. Mm-hmm. And they said when they described where he went, I believe he went right up on Golgotha and laid him down on the mountain up there, you know, right where Jesus was going to be crucified, and got ready to sacrifice him, you know, because it was type and shadow, but it was really, he was showing exactly what he was going to do, you know, and he did it, you know.
He did it all.
Yes, he did. Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that he knows what he's doing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Lord.
There is a way that seems right unto man. Man, can we cause a lot of trouble, can't we? It's that...
for sure.
It's that not pure. What do they call that other word? When it's adulterated. The adulterated thoughts of the human brain are, you know, they're not perfectly... they're not seen with one eye towards the Lord, and so they're always confused.
Well, just think of that word there, human. Mm-hmm. Hewed down man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ever do artwork, you know, you take a bright red, if you're doing watercolor, take a bright red and you add a little water to it and it's a little less red. And each amount of water you add to it, it gets a little less of that color. Right. You can get it all the way down to a pink just by adding water to it. Keep adding water, you know, to your brushes, and you're hewing the color down. You know, you're hewing it down. Well, human is a man that's been hewed down to less than what God originally intended him to be. You know, and as long as we function in that brain or that reality, or I don't know if we even call it reality. I think we should call it something else, because it's not really reality.
It's mistaken identity.
It's mistaken identity. Yeah, yes. It is. Wow, tremendous what God's doing. Mm-hmm. Tremendous, tremendous.
So then, Scripture where it says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, is in Romans 14. And it's pretty clear. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Mm-hmm. Pretty clear to me. I don't know. It's just clear. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught thy brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord. How long does he live? Forever. Mm-hmm. Forever. As long as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. But judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That really kind of limits what you can say, how you can act, and how you can treat your brother. If it's not uplifting and it's not drawing him to the Christ, then it's of no value whatsoever.
You know, that makes me think about when I was up at the hospital with my brother when he was, it went on for about a month up there, you know, went on for quite a while. And he would say to me, "I've just done some terrible things. I've done some terrible things." And I told him, I said, "You've been forgiven. You've been forgiven." I kept telling him that, you know. And, you know, the problem is that it's hard for people because they've been told so many times that they can't be forgiven for these things, you know. And, you know, you've done all this sort of terrible stuff. I don't know what all terrible stuff he did. I mean, we've all done once, yes. You know, what does Scripture tell us about the law and about sin?
It says, "To beam out your own eye."
Yeah, and it also tells you that if you fail in one point of it, you're what?
Guilty,
you're guilty of it all. Yes. So we've all failed in one point or another in the law at some time. So guess what? We're all guilty of it all. But thank God that the Redeemer or the real judge set us free through Jesus Christ, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, until people start really understanding that, they're going to walk in judgment and judge people, and they're going to judge them wrongly. Mm-hmm. And there's that scripture that says, "Know ye not that the saints will judge the world?" And they're even going to judge angels. Well, how are they going to judge them? They're going to judge everybody with, if they're going to have to come to that place of total forgiveness and a relationship of just like what Jesus said when he said, "Father, lay not what? This sin to their charge." Right. You know. And guess what? The Father in him, that was him speaking in with the power and authority of being the Son of God. But he also was the Father because he had the fullness of the Spirit. And you know what? It came to pass exactly what he said, you know. But I don't know. You could get in some pretty heavy talks with people out there.
So true.
You sure could.
And are they not really things that eventually people need to know?
They do need to know it. Yeah, they do.
They do need to know it. I've been thinking I'd like to start putting it out on our, just a little dribble here and there on our sign. Mm-hmm. Be reconciled with three. What does that mean? You know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Anything, just to draw their attention to what that means. I don't know.
How about this one? God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Right. And then right under that put, "And he works all things after the counsel of his own."
Oh, yes, hallelujah.
Because if he would have it, it's going to be.
Let me read this one other little thing. In Philippians chapter 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's the one we want to have. Because he was the one that had the full power of God the Father. Because he had the mind of God the Father in him.
I like the one where it says, "For while we were yet sinners,
yes,
Christ died for
yes.
us." That doesn't change.
No.
Well, you know, when you're talking about the mind, and what does it say? "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on the form of a servant," basically.
Yes.
And that's a paraphrase of that.
Oh,
and then what
perfect.
Did he say after that? He's in another portion of scripture, and he said, "And you have the mind of Christ."
Mm-hmm.
You've got it already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't think you got it. So you, guess what? You ain't going to function in it if you
mm-hmm.
don't think you got
mm-hmm.
it. You know, we have to get to the point where we start thinking we've got it. You know,
maybe
and
we
thinking
start,
that we do have it.
Start meeting with people that agree that we have it.
Yeah, right.
We that's not a lie. I believe it. We
right.
sometimes associate with people that don't agree. We come to agreement with that.
Right.
Yes.
So if they're not in agreement, they're in disagreement.
I when I go to McDonald's sometimes, the minister who used to be the pastor down at the church, down the
yeah.
Nazarene church, sometimes he comes in and Ron comes in there. They used to play ball with you.
Yeah.
That minister used to play ball with you too.
Yeah.
But Ron comes in, and Ron was talking the other day, and I was just listening because I was sitting right behind him, and I was just listening to some things they were saying. He was talking about he was talking about he had been doing some teaching on Moses, you know, and on the law and all this stuff. And I guess, you know, he goes to that church where we used to play softball at. Ron does, down there on
Springdale.
Yeah, Springdale.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he that's where he goes to church. But me and Martin are sitting there, and I have never got into conversations with him or anything, but maybe someday the Lord will open it up where we can start talking.
Were you biting
your tongue? Well, I just sit there and I thought, you know, I love to hear what other people have to say, because, you know, but a lot of the stuff he said was good, but I can't remember exactly what his explanation of why Moses didn't enter in the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
But Moses didn't enter it in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But we know he did enter it in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I, that's what I wanted to say to him. I said, well, you know, when Jesus went up into the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before him, there appeared unto him two people, Moses and Elijah,
mm-hmm.
and talked with him. And the thing about it is the law can never take you into the promises
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
It can show you where you failed, but if you come to a full understanding of the law, Jesus told you what it was. He says all the law and the prophets basically lay on this, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you love God and love each other. Well, if you do that, you fulfilled them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you don't, you're going to be like that little story I told about the golfer. One ball's going to land on the water and sink right to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to take God to part the bottom to get it up out of the bottom. And that's exactly what when I read that little joke, I thought, my mm-hmm. God, you just told the whole salvation thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just made me smile. I had to laugh as I was looking at that thing. I thought, oh my God, you're showing all kinds of things in this little joke here. But anyway, I would have loved to interject that, but I didn't want to mm-hmm. jump into their conversation. You know what I mean? But someday it'll open up if
yes.
it's supposed to, you know.
Yes.
But
I say, what's been on my mind is, if you're getting any kind of a little itch, any of us, anyone who believes, I think it's time for that message to come out,
yeah.
is my opinion. And I think people are at a place where they will believe it.
Well, you know, we have this comfort that God's word will not return void in any aspect. I believe, you know, because I mean, you know, I ain't going to argue over King James and something else. My gosh. I mean, don't you think the Holy Spirit can clarify anything in any language he wants to? Any language. I mean, J.B. Phillips was clear stuff to me. I mean, I jumped on that when we first started reading that. And I mean, just to think, I mean,
yes.
and of course, Oscar's one of Oscar's favorites is When Reality Breaks Forth.
Yes.
Well, I got news for you. We need to forget when and be.
Mm-hmm.
Be that reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when it's breaking
mm-hmm.
forth, when it be,
mm-hmm.
when it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And well, anyway,
mm-hmm.
it's just, keep on waiting for eternity. I mean,
do
I got
you?
Some
yes.
big hang-ups here. You don't have to wait for eternity. This is eternal life. To know him whom he has sent.
Mm-hmm.
Or believe in him whom he has sent.
But those of us who are in this generation do have that calling to, what does it say?
Well, he's given us
the word
of reconciliation to do the work of reconciliation.
And it's still not imputing their trespasses.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
that's
fulfillment
what it is.
Of that.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's not an easy thing to do. It's something that you can't do on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and not do it on Tuesday and Thursday. If you are not going to impute their trespasses, you have to have the mindset.
I think it's funny when I'm talking to a guy at a volleyball game and he starts talking about how bad this world's in such a mess. And I go like it. And I'm listening to him and I go, uh-huh, okay. You do know that he's still got the whole world in his hand, right? And he goes, what?
Simple
I said, I never knew he gave that
song.
Up.
Simple child song.
I mean, it's just, they make it seem like there's no hope. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the creator of heaven and earth that bore all this, that still holds all this, is the only hope.
He is the hope, that's right.
I mean, you know, it's...
Well, I hate to quit, but I think it's time. It was really a fun conversation today.
Yeah.
So, Debbie, would you close this? Did I forget to open with prayer? Open and close.
I don't think we did open with prayer, I don't believe.
Open and close, Deb.
Father, we thank you because you're the beginning and the end.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
And everything in between.
That's a good lead into that.
Amen. Thank you for being able to gather together and share what you've put in us with each other.
Yes.
And we just ask your blessing on the service to come and your people. Bless them all, those in need. Lord, fill their needs. Mm-hmm. And let them know it was you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Contentment with God is a great day. I love that.